It's Garden for Life for July here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Master Gardener Extraordinaire Lynn Kuntzman. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. So here we are getting into the warm part of the summer here and the buggy part as well. I mean, so let's talk about insects and the ones that you want to encourage and the ones you want to discourage. And first of all, is there any rhyme or reason to if bugs will show up, and if so, which ones?
Well, I mean, it depends on how healthy the garden is in terms of the ecosystem that you've created in your yard. If you have a lot of plants that are encouraging beneficial insects into your garden, then you've got a lot of little predatory insects that are going after those things that you hate that are, you know, eating your vegetables, things like earwigs and squash bugs and all the nasty things that we have to deal with every day. It's important to what I tell people to do is, you know, grow companion plants in your garden. And people think of zinnias or marigolds or those kinds of things as companion plants. I think wildflowers are a better fit. Or things like parsley. Like, I let my parsley go to flower, and that encourages little predatory wasps to come in to feed on those flowers. And those wasps are laying eggs in caterpillars of cabbage looper butterflies and in aphids and in other little things like thrips that are eating your vegetables. So the more you can encourage those beneficial insects in the garden, the more balanced your yard and your vegetable garden will be.
Yeah, I have in our notes that we share about what we're going to talk about, why wasps are good guys, and that's why. It sounds like they really are the enforcers in the garden and keep the other guys
absolutely
at bay.
Oh, and there are minute pirate bugs, and I've got assassin bugs, and I've got, you know, ladybugs and hoverfly larvae. Hoverflies, which look like bees, but they're actual flies. Their larvae are aphid destroyers. You know, they're just, if you have good, balanced plant life, native plant life in your yard, then all those little good guys are going to come, and their young are feeding frenzied little buggers. They are eating all the aphids and all the little things they can track down on your plant. So it's a good policy to grow as many wildflowers as you can around your vegetable gardens.
It's kind of like with human teenagers, isn't it? When they're just growing really fast, they're going to be eating a lot.
Yep. They're just voracious. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I have to say that, you know, not working full time has really allowed me to focus on different things. And I was in the garden section of just sort of a major mainstream store recently, and was just kind of surprised at row upon row upon row of things that you can use to get rid of the quote unquote pests in your garden.
Oh my God.
And it's like, I am not at all an expert in poisoning the ground to keep stuff away, but there's a lot of stuff out there you could use to.
There's a lot. Yeah. We've been incredibly effective at killing off insect life all over the planet. I mean, we really are in the midst of an insect apocalypse. And I was just looking, I just posted on Facebook a thing of, you know, in some areas around the world, there's been more than a 50% decrease in insect biomass. That should terrify everybody, because insects are what everything eats, right? If you don't have insects in your yard, there's nothing for birds. There's nothing for amphibians. There's nothing for reptiles. There's nothing for the little mammals that live in the neighborhood. There's nothing. And we are part of that system. We depend on all those other creatures and the insects that feed them. So we're really putting ourselves at risk if we don't plant native plants and back off going to the nuclear option of pesticides. That just puts you in a horrible negative feedback loop. The more you spray, the more you're going to have to spray, because the insect pests, their populations increase 100 times faster than the predatory insects that feed on them. So if you don't allow the system to come back into balance by removing pesticides and herbicides and fungicides, if you don't have healthy soil and you don't have healthy plants that can host those insect predators, then you're always going to be trapped in that spray and kill everything you see. And then your yard is sterile. Mm. And yeah, I mean, it's really a dangerous cycle that we have created. And I don't know how to make it any more terrifying for people, but people should be really concerned about the fact that they're not seeing and they're not hearing more insect life in their yards.
This is Garden for Life on the Jefferson Exchange for July. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Master Gardener Lynn Kunstman. So, for example, if you wanted to encourage wasps around that can be the tough guys in the garden and kill the other guys' babies, what would you do?
Well, most of the wasps that would really kill a lot of your insect pests are so small you don't even know they're there. They are tiny, tiny, tiny. They're smaller than a grain of rice. And they have to have shallow cupped flowers, the adults, to feed from because they're nectar drinkers in the adult phase. In the larval phase, they are inserted into an aphid by the mother wasp. She lays her eggs inside the insect pests. And then those babies feed on that insect pest until they emerge as little adult wasps. But they're so small, you don't even know they're there. You really have to spend some time in your garden looking. And flowers like mustards, dills, phacelia, which is our native scorpion weed, any member of the carrot or celery family, let those go to flower. Let some of them flower. And that will attract those little tiny, tiny, tiny predatory wasps. The big wasps are predators as well. They're meat eaters. So here's advice. You see a little paper nest hanging from your eave in your patio, and it has like 10 or 12 little cells in it, and it's just on a little stem. That's a European paper wasp. That's not going to bother you. That is not going to attack you. But they are going to go out and patrol your vegetables, and they're going to pick up the caterpillars that are eating your vegetables because your vegetables come from Europe, and the European paper wasps sure. eat the the European caterpillar that feeds on those. So they're eating those like bratwurst out there. You know, but if you freak out every time you see something fly by you, then your yard is never going to be in balance. Even yellow jackets, which I usually loathe, are good. They disperse seeds of certain plants that require them to move their seeds for reproduction. They hunt the pests that are in our yards. So if there's a yellow jacket nest somewhere out on your property, don't just go buy a bomb and spray it. If they're not bothering you, if it's not someplace you have to walk or move through, leave them alone. They have a benefit. Everything has an ecological benefit. Even fungus gnats and thrips and aphids, they all have a benefit. Hummingbirds have to eat aphids to feed their babies. They have to feed their babies small insects. So, you know, what we see is bad because it's hurting. Ooh, it's hurting our pretty plant. No, it's also supporting other life out there. So real important that people not just race to the store in those horrible aisles with the poison.
Bag upon bag and box upon box. It blows
stinks.
My mind. Yeah,
it smells so horrid when you walk down those aisles and you think, oh, people are out there spraying them and you know they're not reading the labels. And yeah, it's really dangerous what we're doing.
This is Garden for Life for July on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Master Gardener Lynn Kunstman. So then, if you don't want to resort to the nuclear option, and I hear a strong recommendation not to, what are the alternatives? What are the things if people don't want to have the bugs eating up all of their food?
Sure. And so there are some organic sprays. Now, organic doesn't mean it won't kill you. Nicotine will kill you. You know, I mean, it will kill them, but it's poison. Pyrethrins are poisons. If you spray them on a plant and you're spraying them when the beneficial insects are there, you're going to kill them. But you can be discreet about the way you apply those things. For instance, you know, if you're putting down Sluggo Plus to kill the slugs and snails in your garden, or you might decide to use some non-chemical means, like earwigs are like crack fiends for a tuna can half filled with soy sauce and salad oil. That's not going to hurt anything else. It's the earwigs that are going to be attracted to that, and then they go in there and they die. And then you have salty, oily earwigs in a can. It's pretty exciting for somebody like me who hates the earwigs when they're eating my seedlings. But even earwigs have a purpose. They break down. They're mostly detritivores. They mostly eat decaying vegetation, right? And so, and also my jumping spiders, I just discovered, eat earwigs. Oh. And so the little black jumping spiders with the green facial palps are earwig hunters. So it's like, okay, I can deal with this. You know, I can let these guys be.
You've really gone down some rabbit holes, it sounds like, in learning more about the stuff in the garden.
If people go out into their yards and just look closely at what's happening on the vegetation, they see all kinds of interesting things. Like I've seen assassin bugs eating other insects. I've seen the jumping spider eating an earwig. I take pictures of them. You know, I see the little tiny fairy bees that come to the flowers that I've planted in the garden, and all the bumblebees that are doing all the buzz pollinating for my tomatoes. They're visiting the phacelia that I put out.
That's the scorpion weed, phacelia?
It's a scorpion weed, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great, great plant, and there are many varieties of it that people could grow in their yards. Yeah, and they're native.
Okay, we got about 2 minutes left here in this edition of Garden for Life. Do you need to, like, up the water for some stuff? I noticed that blackberries and blueberries seem to need
absolutely. Berries, especially this time of year, they need a lot of water. They should get daily water for blueberries, and you want to keep them mulched. And blackberries need like an inch of water per week during growing and fruiting. So you want to make sure they're mulched and you're keeping that soil nice and soaked for them. They, you know, takes a lot of water to put on berries.
The other thing I noticed
is you cut the water to your potatoes because now mm-hmm. the tops are dying down. You want to let those go and let those die back. You wait to harvest until after the vines have died completely.
I noticed that about garlic, onion, and shallot tops. Yeah, those
right.
Start,
the mm-hmm. When they start to brown down, then when they're about half brown, you stop the water and pull them after about 2 weeks, and take them into the shade, well ventilated shade to dry. You don't want to leave them out in the sun because it'll scorch there on the garden beds. But let them dry in a kind of well ventilated place in the shade.
Well, the garlic doesn't have a long shelf life, I noticed, does it?
It does not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I tend to go out and I overplant the garlic in my yard, and then I go and I pull some of it as it's still green and use it that way. You know, I just sacrifice some of them and
All right. I'm looking forward to taking the garlic out of the ground. I finally got it in the ground on time this year and
I've
been watching it come up over the winter. We'll come back and talk more about garlic and other fun stuff in our next edition of Garden for Life in the first week of August. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Lynn Kunstman. Lynn, good to have you.
Thanks a lot.